Hi, everyone. This is Howard Berg, the world's fastest reader. I'm really excited to be with you today. You may have seen me on television with Peyton Manning and Justin Timberlake as the Sony e-reader spokesperson. Or maybe you saw me on Kabuto, where I read the 1,500-page healthcare bill in just 50 minutes, and then I did a complete analysis. Well, today it's about you. It's about me helping you increase your reading speed and helping you to have a laser-sharp memory and learning skills that are essential in speaking. Let's face it, as speakers, it's critical that we stay on top of information. One of the things we do is we teach what we know to other people. So the faster we learn, the more information we have, the better the quality of the information, the more clients we're going to have, and the more time we'll have to spend doing things we'd rather be doing. But let's face it, learning the information that's critical for our understanding takes up quite a bit of our free time. I've actually created a breakthrough. I'll tell you a little about it and how it got started. I live in Dallas, but you may have detected I don't have a native Texas accent. And that's because I actually grew up in a place called Brooklyn. Where I grew up in the projects is very dangerous. If you've ever seen the movie Goodfellas, those people actually went to high school with me. And those are the nice people. It was really scary. And I discovered at a very early age, the only place in my neighborhood that gang kids didn't go was the library. So I spent a lot of time reading because that was the only thing I could do that wasn't dangerous. And when I say dangerous, I was beaten with bats that had knives to my throat. My dad was pistol whipped. I'm talking dangerous, really scary dangerous. So when I went to college, I elected to go out of town. I went to SUNY Binghamton, which is the State University of New York, Binghamton. I was interested in what makes things alive, so I studied biology. But in my junior year, I became fascinated by the brain and how it learns. So I went to the dean, and I said, I want to become a psychobiologist and do a dual major in bio and psych. And he looked at me and he said, you only have 1 year of college left. You'll have to take 6 science courses a term. You haven't had a single psych course. Frankly, you're not smart enough. And that's when it hit me. You don't teach learning in school. They tell you what to learn, why to learn, and what will happen when you don't learn. And by the way, they don't teach learning at work either. But then you listen to a song on the radio, like an old Beatles song, and you hear it played once, and you sing every word perfectly for the rest of your life. Then you read something that actually matters, that you actually want to know. And 15 minutes after you're done reading, you're lucky if you remember the name of the book and who wrote it, let alone what was in it. It seemed to me there had to be a way to learn the things we need, the way we learn things we barely paid attention to. And I actually figured it out. I cracked the secret for learning. I got up to 80 pages a minute. I did the 4-year psych program in 1 year. I took the graduate record exam in biology, and I got an 800, which is a near-perfect score. Soon I was in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's fastest reader, reading 80 pages a minute. And as a result, I've been on over 1,100 shows. So today, I'd like to talk first about some of the problem and then offer some practical solutions that you could begin using. First, let's begin with the scope of the problem. Did you know that more information is printed in a week than in all of human history through the year 1800? In fact, all that information is now accessible through the computer. Did you know that the New York Times, 1 week in the New York Times has more information than a person in the 18th century had to learn in their entire lifetime? And we still read at that same speed, about 200 words a minute. So the first question I want to address today is why we read so slowly, and then show you how to start speeding up. In fact, by the time I'm done today, you'll be able to read 10, 15, 20% faster. So pay close attention. You're going to really enjoy yourself. Why do we read so slowly? Why is reading the road at 70 miles an hour, and where I live in Texas, that's the speed limit. And I have to tell you, it's a suggested speed limit. Anyone going that slowly is going to get glared at by everyone else on the road. Most of you from Texas know that I'm telling the truth. Why is reading the road at 70 miles an hour easier than reading a book? 200 words a minute, which is about how fast most people read a book. So when we drive, we have to process information actually in 4 directions, front, back, left, and right. And while we're doing that, we also have to watch the road, watch our gauges, watch signs, follow directions or our GPS. And it's so boring that we listen to the radio, talk to people sitting in the car and make calls on the phone. And a lot of us do all of it at the same time. And we're still bored. Reading's just one direction. The book sits right in front of you. But driving the car and talking on the cell phone is easier. Why? And the answer to that question holds the secret to super fast reading. Let's do it. You need to understand your brain and how it processes the text that you're reading. We start by reading letters, D-O-G. Now, I grew up in Brooklyn. That word's pronounced properly. It's pronounced dog. Now, where I live in Texas, they call it a dog. But whether it's a dog or a dog, something interesting's happened. We no longer see the letters. So we started off reading words one letter at a time, D-O-G, and then we saw the word dog without even knowing the letters were there. In the same way, we could see the word hot, H-O-T, as a group of letters or the word hot. But here's where it gets interesting. Put the word hot in front of the word dog, and it's neither hot nor a dog, unless you're actually eating a little puppy, which I don't think anyone wants to actually do. They might do it in certain Asian countries, but most of us won't put relish on a little puppy. So notice the word hot dog is two words, but the words don't have the same meaning as the two words that they're part of. So that's kind of interesting. So why do we read so slowly? Because when we're in a car, we process everything like a movie. We see everything very visually. But when we're in a book, we read one word at a time. Actually, we don't really read. When we read, it's like someone is in our head talking to us. If you look in your head, there's an imaginary little person in the back of your brain looking through your eyes at the book, reading the book aloud, one word at a time. And so readings become the only time we actually use our eyes to hear information, one word at a time. And that's what causes us to read so slowly. Fortunately, there's a simple way to train a little person to see the movie in the book that you're seeing all day long. Think about it. Vision is analog. You take in everything as a gestalt all at once. Hearing is digital. It's one sound bite at a time. You look at a painting, it's instant. When you listen to a song, it takes time. If we could see a book the way we see all the other things around us as images instead of as sound bites, we could instantly go quicker. And I'm going to show you the secret now for accomplishing this. What you're going to want to do when this is over is get a book. Get a familiar book, one you've read already, preferably nonfiction. Now, the reason I'm saying that is I want you to make sure the only thing that could confuse you is how quickly you're reading and not what the contents of the book might be. If you've got a book on quantum physics or organic chemistry, it's probably going to be hard for most people read slowly, so it's certainly not going to be easy to speed read when you're learning how to speed read. Once you know how, you can read anything. So pick a book you've read already and get a timer. You could use a smartphone, you could use a watch, you could even use a timer for a minute egg in the kitchen. And you're going to go to the first page of the first chapter of your book. You're going to read for 1 minute. And at the end of the minute, you're going to take a pencil and mark off where you finished. So you know how far you went in a minute. Now I'm going to teach you the secret sauce and how to speed up. You want to begin using your left hand and go from the left to the right margin, all the way across, one line at a time, as quickly as you can comprehend. Now, to find out how fast that actually is, keep speeding up with your eyes following your hand from left to right margin. Do this in the second chapter of your book so you don't look at the same material. And keep going faster and faster so you don't know what you're reading, so you find your ceiling. Then slow it back down just enough so your comprehension comes back. And then for about 10 minutes, using your left hand, go from left to right margin, left to right margin, never going down the middle of the page, going all the way across, as quickly as you could comprehend. When you're done, you go back to the first chapter where you originally tested yourself. Again, time yourself for a minute, but this time using your hand, and you'll be astounded. You'll go 10, 15, 20% faster with that one simple change. Now, some of you may say, yo, I read it already. That's why I'm reading faster. I'm doing this on purpose. Originally, when you normally read a book, you usually read a book on something you're interested in and know about. And what you're really trying to do is learn new things. And so I'm trying to create a situation in your first chapter where you're reading something and you're actually going to have seen some of it before. So it kind of represents what you normally do when you read. There's some things there you know. There's some things there you don't know. And so it's actually a pretty accurate test of what normally would happen in a typical book. And that's the first step in learning to read faster. It's easy to do. It's fun. How can you use this? Well, students, did you know right now there's a 50% dropout rate in college and four-year schools and 70% in two-year schools? And for business people like you, staying on top of information has become more and more difficult. So now you have a simple strategy to get started. And the next strategy I want to talk about is comprehension. Because frankly, comprehension is a lot more important to me than speed. Kind of reminds me of a funny story. It's a true story. It was with Dick Cavett, famed talk show host. Quite a few years ago, he was one of the first hosts on MSNBC, and I was one of his guests. And he had me on, and he had me actually speed read. I actually read his autobiography, about 200-300 pages. I read it in 90 seconds. And he tested me. And, of course, he knew the autobiography pretty well. He got 100. He kind of laughed. He said, I got a funny story to tell you. He says, I was interviewing Woody Allen quite a few years ago. He told me he had just taken Evelyn Woods. And he read War and Peace in 5 minutes after finishing the course. And I said, that's amazing. What do you remember? He says, it's about the Russian Revolution. That's all I remember. And unfortunately, that's what happened with speed reading in the past. It was about speed and reading. But comprehension, very little. So most people were very disappointed because they forgot what they read almost as fast as they were reading it. And because it was mostly learned mechanically, when they learned something new that they knew nothing about, had lots of new words, difficult, complicated, lots of numbers and things they didn't understand, they had to slow down to understand it, then what's this speed? So with all the time and money they spent learning how to read faster, it all went away almost as fast as it started. I found a way to fix it, and I'm going to show you that because it's also part of boosting comprehension. Now, I'm going to read something to you, and this has no schema. Now, what's schema? Schema is what the brain is actually using to make sense out of text. And the best way to show you how it works is not have any. And then put a one more title on, and watch how instantly the text that's confusing you, that makes no sense, becomes effortless to read. So here's the schemaless text. Watch how confusing it is. Even though the words are very, very simple, this is an easy thing to do. If possible, you could do it at home. But you could always go someplace else if it's necessary. Beware of overdoing it. This is a major mistake and may cost you quite a bit of money. Now, if someone said, would you bet your life right now you know exactly what I'm talking about? I don't think that would be a very good bet for you to take. Watch what happens. I'm going to put on one word, just one word. And instantly, everything will make sense. I'm going to read it again with the title. Ready? Laundry. Laundry. This is an easy thing to do. If possible, you could do it at home. But you could always go someplace else if it's necessary. Beware of overdoing it. This is a major mistake. And it cost you quite a bit of money. What happened? Suddenly, it made complete sense. One word. It was the golden ticket that unlocked the meaning of the text. So what I do is I teach people how to find the schema when they're speed reading. And because they're finding the golden ticket that opens up the meaning and significance at a much higher speed, they're not just reading faster, they're understanding better. And getting more information and being able to use the information in less time. That's exactly what you want to be able to do in your business. In fact, there's a corollary to what I just taught you. many of you are making programs or making products or doing workshops or doing lectures. What are you doing to make sure that the schema of what you're presenting makes sense to the people to which you are presenting to? What do I mean by that? You ever got a book or bought a program or a product and you started reading the instructions or tried to understand the text and your brain went dead? It's like, I don't get it. This is confusing. This is too hard. And what did you do? You sent it back. You didn't have the time to have to learn something and have to struggle with something that barely made any sense. But what does this mean to you? What are you doing with your products and services to make sure that your products and services are schematically meaningful to your prospects and clients? Because if you're not, what's going to happen is what happened when you didn't understand. They send it back, and they'll never buy another program from you because you didn't deliver what they expected in the first place. But on the other hand, by learning how to use schematic clues properly, by making sure whatever you were doing made sense to your prospects and clients, suddenly you have more customers, fewer returns, a bigger stick rate. May I share with you a secret on how I accomplished some of that? When I was doing my live programs many years ago for the first time, what I would do, I would go to lunch with all of my students. Now, that's different than most of the speakers you've seen. Most speakers, lunch is their time, their special time. They go in their room, they barricade themselves. I'm taking some time out for me. I'm not getting paid for this. This is my time. I'm going to rest. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have lunch. I'm not going to work. That's what most people do. I didn't do that. I went to lunch with my clients, the people in my program, for a very, very good reason. I wanted to hear not just what I was doing that they liked. I wanted to hear their complaints. I wanted to know what confused them. I'm not on their map. They are. So if I go to a city and someone says, I didn't understand the technique you were explaining, and I listen to them, and then I tell them another way to learn it, and they learn it. Then I go to another city, and again, someone says, I didn't understand that technique. And it's the same technique. Like two or three people in two or three different cities would say the same question about the same thing. I had a problem. I wasn't creating a schematically meaningful explanation for something, and so people were getting confused. People weren't learning what I wanted them to learn. And so I made changes. And the other beautiful thing about going to lunch with my clients is I could experiment with the changes right there with them and see if they lit up. And so over the years, I made many changes. And over the years, I got my program so easy. I've gotten kids as young as third grade to do 100% faster in their reading speed. One of my students, Stephen Terry, graduated of Texas at 16 with a 4.0, master's in math from OU at 19 with a 4.397. One of my students, Micah Stanley, finished law school and graduated and passed the bar at 19. It's because I took the time to talk to my clients, hear what they needed. It wasn't about me. When we speak, when we work with people, it's about them. It's about providing them with the best possible information. And I'm going to give you one more skill that I think is important, and that is, what is it you're trying to actually learn? Did you know there's only five things you need to look at? If you just learn those five things, you'll master any subject. Want to know what they are? First thing, you want to make sure you find are the new words. About 85% of learning a subject is learning vocabulary. Think about all the subjects you've learned in your life. How much of your time is spending learning the new words? So words are very important. Two, the names. Who's in the book? What did they do? Why are they in your book? People. Three, any numbers, any statistics, any formula, dates, anything that has a numeral attached to it. Probably important. Pay attention to these things. Pay attention to make sure that you find them. Make sure you look for the headings and the subheadings. You know, when you have a file cabinet, you usually file things in folders. Everything in that folder has a common theme. Everything in a bolded section in your book is like a folder. It has a common theme. And the subheadings are also a common theme within the main theme. And so what you're looking for, or what are the five most important ideas presented in each of your headings and subheadings? Very important, the big takeaway. And the last thing you want to look for, the questions. And here's the big thing with questions. Most of the time, in most of the books that you read, the questions are at the end, after you learned it. And what happens is you get to the end of the chapter, and you look at it and say, oh, I didn't know I had to know that. You didn't pay attention to it. So now you don't know the answer to the question, and what? You have to go back and read it again. I don't do that, nor should you. What I do is before I even begin, I read the questions at the end if I know that they're there. So I know what's important, and I know what I'm looking for. And more importantly, when I find it, I know that it's important and I have to focus on it. So I don't have to go back again. I let the writer help me find what they think is important. They wrote the book. They wrote the questions. The questions are to see, to assess yourself. Did you learn what they hoped that you would learn? And here's another thing you want to think about. What questions are you asking when you're teaching people? How are you giving them an assessment to determine if they've learned your information? And how much better results do you think you would get if you were doing that? And told them to look at the questions first. Can you see how very simple, very subtle changes can make all the difference in the world between learning a new program and just looking at a new program and getting frustrated? And that's the problem that many of us have as speakers. Our programs aren't easy for people to understand. And when they're done learning it, they're not really coming away with the value they were hoping for. So I've created a program called Maximum Power Reading. Maximum Power Reading is two DVDs and an activity CD. Now, we actually guarantee you'll double your learning rate. And you know why? We did a double-blind efficacy study. We had a single company use a standardized reading test called the Nelson-Denny, which is known as a perfect test for not just testing reading speed, but comprehension. We took 100 people, random sample, and we gave them the test before and after. We actually split it up. So half of them took test A and then B. Half took B and A. So we made sure B and A, B wasn't easier than A. And the average person doubled to quadrupled in 4 hours with outstanding comprehension. So this is the perfect program for staying competitive, staying on top of the information that's critical to your work as a speaker, so that you are ahead of the crowd. You're able to learn new things faster, understand them better, make more money, become more productive, make fewer mistakes, and ultimately have more time for the things you love. And to get the program, what I've done is I've created a free lesson, absolutely free. Just go to fromhoward.com/today. That's fromhoward.com/today. And you'll get two free lessons. First, you'll be able to see the hand motions that I was describing earlier graphically on your screen, and it'll help you increase your reading speed. And I also created a memory exercise that will help you memorize a list backwards and forwards effortlessly in just a couple of minutes' time. And then you can use that strategy in your workshops and in your books and products to make it easy for your clients to learn your information. So the free lesson is at fromhoward.com/today. That's fromhoward.com/today. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I wish all of you the best of success. Make sure you go to fromhoward.com/today today.